What does it mean to be a disciple? Hi, I'm Jordan Sullivan, the minister of music here at Fraser Church in Montgomery, Alabama, and we're in a series looking at how we can be committed disciples of Jesus Christ by following His Great Commission together as a church family. Our prayer is that in this season you will find greater communion with God, greater community with your fellow disciples, and greater commitment to Jesus' Great Commission. Thanks for joining us.
Welcome to Day 57 of A Disciple of Christ, A Season of Commitment. Today's devotion is titled, The Deceiver is Deceived. Melanie Rayner once wrote, Jacob was deceived. Leah was rejected and unloved. Rachel is emptied out by envy. Laban saw prophets instead of people. But Jesus takes all of that, every objectifying, victimizing, heartbreaking, manipulative, broken interaction, and instead offers us perfect healing and a gospel-paved way to reconciliation. Our text for today is from Genesis chapter 29, verses 15 through 28. Then Laban said to Jacob, Because you are my kinsman, should you therefore serve me for nothing? Tell me, what shall your wages be? Now Laban had two daughters. The name of the older was Leah, and the name of the younger was Rachel. Leah's eyes were weak, but Rachel was beautiful in form and appearance. Jacob loved Rachel. And he said, I will serve you 7 years for your younger daughter, Rachel. Laban said, It is better that I give her to you than that I should give her to any other man. Stay with me. So Jacob served 7 years for Rachel, and they seemed to him but a few days because of the love he had for her. Then Jacob said to Laban, Give me my wife that I may go into her. For my time is completed. So Laban gathered together all the people of the place and made a feast. But in the evening, he took his daughter Leah and brought her to Jacob, and he went in to her. Laban gave his female servant Zilpah to his daughter Leah to be her servant. And in the morning, behold, it was Leah. And Jacob said to Laban, What is this you have done to me? Did I not serve you for Rachel? Why then have you deceived me? Laban said, It is not so done in our country to give the younger before the firstborn. Complete the week of this one, and we will give you the other also in return for serving me another 7 years. Jacob did so and completed her week. Then Laban gave him his daughter Rachel to be his wife. Genesis 27 records how Jacob underhandedly stole his brother Esau's birthright. Jacob was a deceiver. However, in Genesis 29, we see where Jacob meets his match in Laban, who will become his double father-in-law. Laban ruthlessly deceived Jacob by giving him Leah instead of Rachel, leaving Jacob unaware of the switch. Laban showed no concern for the dishonesty of his actions or for the deep emotional pain he caused Jacob. But if we look back 7 years in Jacob's life, we see him deceiving his blind father Isaac by pretending to be Esau. In that moment, Jacob had similarly misled Isaac, who was under the impression that he was blessing Esau. Jacob didn't care about the underhanded, despicable nature of his actions or the hurt he inflicted on Isaac's heart. He was indifferent then, and now he must face the consequences of his own actions. Jacob learns the law of the harvest the hard way, Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 and 8 read, "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever one sows, that will he also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption, but the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life." Just as Jacob's deception of Esau led to strife, Laban's dishonesty causes major conflict that will impact future generations. John Walton expounds on this truth. Why is the text so interested in Leah's status as the unloved wife? It is specifically mentioned by the narrator in chapter 29, verse 31, and by Leah in conversation in chapter 30, verse 15, and it is continually reiterated in the names that she gives her children in chapter 29, verse 32, also verse 33 and 34, and chapter 30, verse 20. In this, we find a new level of conflict, one that arises from being unfavored. In the next generation, this conflict over favoritism will become the centerpiece in the relationship between Joseph and his brothers. The obstacle to the covenant appears in the conflict and jealousy that plague the major characters. Conflict has plagued the world from Cain's jealousy of Abel down to each of our lives as we live minute by minute. God's covenant people, either old or new covenant, are not exempt. The text is setting up to show God as the one who resolves conflict. This is a lesson we need desperately to learn, for solving conflicts at times may appear to be the most impossible task we can set before God. John Phillips adds, "It is a sad record, for Jacob's home became a battlefield where two embittered women fought and struggled for Jacob's affection. Jacob, torn between his devotion to Rachel and his desire for sons, was pulled this way and that." This conflict arises among the four mothers of Jacob's children and will extend to how their sons treat their half-brothers. Notice the 12 sons that will come to represent the 12 tribes of Israel and who their mothers are. Wife Leah, in Genesis 29, verses 32 through 35, and chapter 30, verses 17 through 21, gave the sons Reuben, Simeon, Levi, Judah, Issachar, and Zebulun. Rachel's handmaid, Bilhah, according to Genesis chapter 30, verses 5 through 8, gave the sons Dan and Naphtali. Leah's handmaid, Zilpah, according to Genesis 30, verses 9 through 13, gave the sons Gad and Asher. And wife Rachel, according to Genesis chapter 30, verses 22 through 24, and chapter 35, verses 16 through 18, gave the sons Joseph and Benjamin. Isn't it amazing that God would use the results of deception to establish His chosen nation and protect them from captivity and famine through Joseph being sold into slavery because of the jealousy of his brothers? God's plan cannot be thwarted. Only God could turn what mankind planned as evil into His good. Some questions to consider. How is Jacob's deception by Laban a fitting judgment on his deception of Isaac? Over and over again, God uses dysfunctional families to bring glory to His name. Since there's a little dysfunction in all of us, how encouraging is it to know that God's power prevails over all our mistakes? And finally, what lessons on patient and persevering love can you learn from Jacob's dedication to marry Rachel? How are their two sons Joseph and Benjamin, proof of God's loving kindness and blessings. Thanks for joining us. Have a great day.